Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. To be
Space Slick bringing us back with the Jefferson Starship 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Pete Sepp is our guest, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Pete, thanks again for being here. Pete's a longtime 17-year-plus member of our Brain Trust. Pete, help us with this Default Prevention Act. But explain it to us, can we explain it out of the weeds?
Oh, sure. Very easily.
I mean, you're the best at this, but do give it your best shot.
Quite simply, for a number of years, decades actually, Congress has had to periodically renew, extend, and usually revise upward the amount of money that the federal government is allowed to borrow by statute.
We've gone through this quite a bit in the last half a dozen years.
Yes, and in fact, one of the times we had a showdown over raising the debt ceiling was when we got the Budget Control Act. That was in late 2011.
Right.
Imposed very good, solid caps on portions of, not the entire, but portions of the federal budget, slowed the growth of spending. For the first time since the Korean conflict, expenditures on the discretionary side of the budget, I mean non-entitlement, actually went down for a two-year period. That was a heck of an achievement, and it's one reason why debt ceiling votes are very important.
You're talking about the sequester, right?
Yes.
So why did people, you know, I always thought the sequester was a good idea, but I hear people that I typically feel are reasonable people, you know, throwing rocks at the sequester. I always felt like anytime we put mandatory cuts on the government, that's a good thing.
Well, yes, and of course, there's easily, I understand this confusion between the caps imposed by the Budget Control Act and the sequester mechanism. The sequester mechanism only kicks in when Congress fails to make the actual cuts that are required under the budget caps established by the Budget Control Act. Mm-hmm. It is not an automatic thing that the sequester takes place unless Congress fails to do its job. That was a key portion of the Budget Control Act.
Mm-hmm.
Members of Congress have always had it within their ability to say, well, we don't want to make across-the-board cuts that might hurt certain priorities, so we're going to make targeted ones. Well, that's always within their power.
Right.
If they're not going to do that, sequester is going to impose the discipline.
But you're concerned, you guys are joining people who are concerned that we might default if we don't pass what you call the Default Prevention Act.
Yes, I think that this brinkmanship that the Democratic Party primarily wants to play in Congress right now to say that, well, if you guys want to take the chance of not only shutting down the government, but hitting so close to our borrowing limit that the United States is in default, it's going to be your problem. You're going to take the blame. You're going to have to explain to the
American
people.
They love hitting the Republicans over the head with that, don't they?
That's right.
And sadly, for a number of times, the Republicans took the bait.
Yes. And that's why the Default Prevention Act is so important. What it says, quite simply, is if we get into a situation where we're up against the debt limit, we're going to prioritize federal government payments toward interest on that debt, servicing it, and Social Security and certain defense programs, meaning that the federal government will have to live off its current revenue stream and prioritize payments to the kinds of things Americans want to see government
do first. And
that's
what the Default Prevention Act calls for?
Yes, exactly.
So we're talking about targeted sequester then?
Yes, and generally saying that, look, the federal government has the power in an emergency situation where there's no more borrowing authority to keep servicing the debt, keep the Social Security checks coming, make sure our troops stay in the field,
but you know,
other programs are just going to have to be suspended until we find the money through borrowing or revenue or prioritization.
And that's the way of accomplishing this medicine, this tough love or this taking our medicine without actually somebody declaring that we've shut the government down.
That's right. And this is a regrettable situation. It's even an embarrassing one. But again, Congress has always had it within its power to set these priorities. If it's not going to do that, we need to take measures like these.
Right. So what do you think of the, where is this? Is this up against a September 30 deadline, or is this beyond that?
Well, the borrowing limit of the federal government will probably be reached after September 30. Now, there is another September 30 deadline, and that's coming up with an actual budget for the next fiscal year.
Right.
My guess is that Congress will do what it has done for years on end, pass a so-called continuing resolution, which will fund the government at its current levels. They'll punt the ball again, and maybe they'll come up with some kind of actual budget package later this fall or even next year. But
could
the
this,
debt ceiling could, is a different issue.
Could this be something that, that winds up becoming a political football for the 2016 election?
Oh, certainly. It certainly could.
So and watch for that, folks. I mean, not to pick on the Democrats, but I would see the, I could see the Democrats using this to their advantage because they're in the minority. I'm not saying the Republicans wouldn't do the same thing, folks. But this is the, but you know what, Pete? This is the kind of inside baseball brinksmanship that Americans are getting sick of.
Yes. Failure
it's,
to
it's
do
one
the
of the
prioritization.
Reasons that, that the non-politicians are doing as well as they're doing, isn't it?
That's right.
We're sick of this.
That's why Congress has a below 20% approval rating.
With cause. Quick break. Right back with Pete Sepp. NTU.org. That's their website. Check it out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.